Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I am thankful to be able to join you again once more today. I'm thankful for what I see in the scriptures. I pray that by the end of the week, that you too will see what I'm looking at. I believe it is a beautiful picture. We will go back into the scripture we were on yesterday and start in John chapter 1 and verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And that's where our focus is this week. And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." Their questions to John were in verse 19, "Who art thou?" And then in verse 22, they repeated again, "Who art thou? What sayest thou of thyself?" They're asking, what is his relationship to the scriptures? And what is his relationship to the Messiah? John was able to see his calling, his place within the scriptures. The questions that we want to consider this week is, who art thou? The question asked to me and asked to you, who are we? What sayest thou of thyself? What is our relationship to the scriptures? What is my relationship to the Messiah? Are we able to see ourselves in the scriptures as we read them? We want to look at the question they asked John, "Art thou that prophet?" referring to the prophet likened to Moses that is spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 18. We have shown that that was speaking of the Messiah to come, Jesus the Christ. Today we will look at the likeness between Jesus and Moses. If Jesus is going to be a prophet likened to Moses, we should see a parallel between their lives and ministries. I've often talked about Joseph in the Old Testament being a type of Christ. It is a beautiful picture, but oh my, this man Moses, when we look at it, it too is quite a picture of the coming Messiah. There's 10 points that we want to touch on that ties the two of them together. Number one, they were both the promised deliverer. They were going to bring people out of the bondage of Egypt. Moses would do that, bring them out from under the burden of Egypt. And Jesus, too, would bring us out of the burden of sin. He'd bring us forth from the bondage of this world. I like this thought. He not only delivered us from the penalty of sin, he delivered us from the power of sin. Egypt in this scripture would speak of the world. The second point, both of them as a child had a death decree upon them. Pharaoh's desire was to kill all the children, and thus he would kill the deliverer, Moses. And then we see in Jesus' time, it was King Herod that was going to try to destroy Jesus. Well, we see in both pictures that God would bring protection upon their lives. I often have told people this, I believe this with all my heart, God will protect his purpose. I don't know how long I will have upon this earth. I'm thankful for the years that he's given me, but I am confident of this, that as long as God has a purpose in my life, he will protect that purpose. Number three, there was a period of 430 years. In the life of Moses, it was from the promise given to Abraham to the deliverance of the children of Israel. In this scripture, it actually declares that it was 430 years to the day. When we look at the life of Jesus, if you look at the time frame from the last prophet in the Old Testament, Malachi, to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, this too gives us a period of time of approximately 430 years. Number four, there was a prophecy that said, "Out of Egypt, I have called my son." We see this, not only would he call the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, but also he would call Jesus Christ out of Egypt. Because of the persecution of Herod, Jesus would flee into Egypt. And at the appointed time, God would call his son, his firstborn out of Egypt. He was the first begotten of God, the only begotten son of God. Number five, they would both experience tremendous pressure. What it says about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. What we see in Jesus, he too, in the wilderness, it said he was tempted, such even as we are tempted. The enemy would come and offer him all the treasures, the kingdoms of this world, but he would choose the reproach before the kingdom would come. In the garden, he too would be tempted. He would ask the question, Father, is there another way? But he was willing to go the way that God had ordained. Both of them were rejected. Both felt criticism by their brethren. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 25, it says this about Moses, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. In verse 27, it says, but he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Moses understood who he was, but his brethren really didn't understand this. In the book of Mark, chapter 3, in verse 21, the scripture says this, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. In the New International Version, and many other translations of the Bible, it says it this way, when his family heard about this. And I think that's probably the best translation of it. It was not just friends, but it's this close family. They went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Later on, we see where they were actually kind of almost mocking him, saying, if you really are the Messiah, you know, go show yourself. Moses would stand before Pharaoh and be rejected, and Jesus before Pilate. Number six, he was a prophet. Both of them were prophets, mighty in word and deed. In Luke 24:19, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. What we see is that some prophets were mighty in word, that they did great things, but there were others that were mighty in deed also. They would do tremendous miracles. When we look at the life of Moses and we look at the life of Jesus, we see this, that the words that they would speak would be powerful, and also the demonstration of the power of God within their life would be mighty in signs and wonders and miracles. Number seven, Moses would be a mediator between God and man. Moses would cry out to God on behalf of the children of Israel. And then we also read in the scriptures, there is one mediator between God and man. It doesn't mean Moses wasn't a mediator, but this mediator, the difference, there is a difference in the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Number eight, Moses would take the children of Israel through the wilderness, and they would be fed with manna. What we would see in the ministry of Jesus Christ, that he too would feed the multitudes multiple times. We would see this, that him feeding the multitudes. And this is one of the things that caught the attention of the people about the ministry of Jesus Christ. Number nine, it speaks about their words. There would be a great authority. God would speak to Moses, as he would say, he would speak to him face to face and place within him words to speak unto the children of Israel. When we look at the life of Jesus, we can go into Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29. It says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There was a different anointing upon the life of Jesus than just the Pharisees and scribes of that hour of time. There was an authority, a power, an unction, an anointing on his words. In John chapter 3 and verse 34, we read this, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God." John 14 verse 10 tells us this, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Jesus was always pointing them back to the Father as the author of the words that he would speak, and the, really the power behind the miracles that Jesus would perform. Same chapter in verse 24, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings." And this is very important here. "And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." Amen. John 17, verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." This is going to be key to what we're looking at this week. Where did the words originate from? The words originated in God the Father. In the, what the scripture tells us here, that God gave these words unto Jesus the Christ. And this is very important to understand the relationship between Jesus, the Son of the living God, and God the Father. The words originate in the mind of God. He gives them unto the Son, and then the Son would speak the words that the Father would have. And he says this in verse 8 here, "And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they believe that thou didst send me." So the people that are receiving the words recognize the origin of those words, that the words originated in the mind of God. So as they receive them as the word of God. The 10th point, and this is a very important one. Moses was commissioned to build a tabernacle. He was told, "I want you to build it according to the pattern thou hast seen in the heaven." Jesus Christ, too, would have a commission that he would build a church. And I believe this too, according to the pattern that he would see in the spiritual realm. The church is the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, it says this, "Ye are God's building." Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah would appear to him, and they would speak of his death, and it is through his death, it would be this means that God would raise up a church, a dwelling place for the a tabernacle for the Most High. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." God is the architect of the tabernacle, and the tabernacle was a reflection of spiritual principles. When I look at beautiful buildings, I am impressed by the architects. They don't do the actual physical work, but it was through a picture that they had in their mind at one time that these beautiful buildings are they're not only designed, but they come to reality. What was once in the mind of the architect is now expressed. What was in the mind of the great architect, God the Father, has now been committed unto Moses, and it was committed unto Jesus. We want to go into Exodus chapter 25, and we'll close with this scripture. I probably need to ask your forgiveness. I know I've kind of spoke kind of fast today. I do this at times when I'm getting excited about what I'm seeing. And I also realize we're on some time constraints. We don't want to keep you too long, but there's much upon my heart I want to share with you. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee." Okay. Exodus 40 in verse 16. In Exodus 25, it's an important point. "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee." Amen. In Exodus 40, seven times the Lord would repeat these words. Verse 19, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 21, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 23, "As the Lord had commanded Moses." Verse 25, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 27, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 29, "As the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 32, "As the Lord commanded Moses." And verse 33, "So Moses finished the work." Verse 34, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." When Moses had finished the work, then the glory fills the temple. The important point to note is God said, "Let them, according to what I show you." So the question is how can you build what I see? The key is that somehow the information must be transmitted from Moses unto the people. And we can finish up with this question upon our hearts. How can we work together unless we see the same thing? It's an important thing to ponder and to consider. It's critical that we both see the same picture if we're going to build together the tabernacle, a dwelling place for God. I pray that this has been a blessing. Pray for me as we continue on this week that things said will be a blessing unto God's people. We love you. We appreciate the opportunity. May God bless Brother Andrew and the saints that are working together to bring this platform to the people. Love in Christ Jesus. Amen.